This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Congressman John Fleming. We wanted to get his insights on what he's thought of this lame duck session, which many agree is the most eventful in recent memory. But is that the right thing to do? And what exactly has and has not been accomplished since the midterm elections? And Congressman, it's great to have you with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you once again.
It's great to have you back and get your thoughts on a number of key issues. Obviously, a lot of different things discussed, debated, and certainly passed in the past few weeks here. In talking to some of your colleagues in the past few weeks, they generally seem to think that the only thing that Congress should have addressed in the past few weeks is funding the government and extending the tax rates from the Bush administration. What's your sense on what should and should not be done in a lame duck session?
Well, I think, first of all, Greg, that it was a lame duck session. We have spent 2 years focusing on everything but the most important thing, and that is improving the economy and building jobs. And now here, when perhaps we could do something even more for the people at the last minute, we've been debating all sorts of things and voting on all sorts of things with, I think, limited benefit. And so I've been disappointed, but Democrats, knowing that they're fixing to lose considerable power up here, has taken advantage of this lame duck session to push through, to cram down on things that they know they won't be able to get in just a few weeks.
In terms of what they have accomplished, in addition to the tax compromise, of course, you have the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the START treaty, which is a Senate issue, mainly not a House issue. The House passed the DREAM Act. Doesn't look like it's going to pass in the Senate. What do you see as the most significant work done? What do you see as the most perhaps dangerous work done?
I think that what's dangerous is that the tax bill really turned out, the tax compromise, if you will, I think fell short of what we needed. I voted against it. I opposed it. I felt like that we should have a permanent extension of the Bush tax cuts. And along with passing that, we've passed some more money-dumping stimulus into it. And if nothing else we've learned over the last 2 years is dumping money into the economy does not stimulate the economy. And in fact, one could make the point that having a not-paid-for extension of the unemployment benefits may actually make the unemployment levels stay the same or go higher.
In terms of the House agenda, obviously the rules greatly favor the majority. Do you feel like there was anything your party could have done to slow down what they tried to accomplish on the Democratic side these last few weeks?
No, the rules have been, as you point out, have been rigged. We've not had one open rule bill throughout these 2 years, so open debate was shut off. Everything really that's been done for the last 2 years has been more or less put together by a handful of people behind closed doors, and then because of their superior numeric advantage and without any interest in compromising at all, they basically have shoved them down our throats, the minority throats, and those of the American people. The only thing I think that could be considered to be any kind of bipartisan deal or agreement at all was the tax deal, and that only happened that way because they knew they were soon to get a worse deal, that is the Democrats, and so they did cave a little bit on that one. But otherwise, now going into the 112th Congress, we in the majority are going to do just the opposite. We're going to open up debate. We're going to open up rules. We're not going to be doing to the Democrats what they did to us and the American people.
In terms of the past 2 years, I believe it was Speaker Pelosi who says this is perhaps the most consequential, the most productive Congress, just in terms of the number of pieces of legislation that finally gained House approval. I know that most of those pieces were legislation you certainly didn't agree with. So what do you have to say in reaction to her contention that this was a very successful Congress because of all the things that were approved?
I think it just goes to show that when you get a numeric advantage and you get solid control of government that's extreme in any one direction, which in this case is very much to the left, that you can push a lot of things past the will of the American people. And I think that's a dangerous thing. I think the American people woke up. That's the reason why we have the Tea Party. And we're going to have to revisit a lot of these things and hopefully reverse the damage that was done when you have a government that's controlled too much by one extreme.
Well, we're talking with Louisiana Congressman John Fleming, and sir, for those who are regular listeners, they know that you and I have talked before about a number of issues, one of which is your plan to basically starve the health care law, basically refuse to allow any funding for the bill, and if it doesn't get taken down in court, then it's going to be taken down through the appropriations process. Two questions on this front. First of all, how important was it for conservatives that the omnibus bill didn't go through, and so that funding that really would have begun the funding for Obamacare didn't happen? And secondly, how specifically will you go about trying to defund it next year?
That was a critical first step in our plan. As everyone knows, even though we'll drop a bill the very first day of the 112th Congress, and eventually pass a bill to repeal Obamacare, there's no way we're going to be able to get it past the Senate and get the president to sign it. So all we can do for the next 2 years will be to, in one way or another, defund and to slow down the implementation. And this was the first step. By taking that out of the omnibus bill and the continuing resolution that finally got passed, that's going to withhold money to implement Obamacare. Much of the funding of Obamacare is actually already in place and doesn't require ongoing appropriations, but that doesn't mean that we can't remove funding or shift it in one direction or another to more or less, again, slow down and hamper the implementation process. And then hopefully one of the things we want to do is that $500 billion of Medicare funding that's being shifted to subsidized private insurance, we're going to try to restore that to Medicare so as to shore up Medicare, and that along with doing away with the individual mandate, which of course is in court right now, that would be enough, I think, to take this whole thing down.
And Congressman, last question before we let you go. When it comes to spending overall in the upcoming Congress with Republicans in control of the House, what should voters, particularly those who are affiliated with the Tea Party or just were fed up with what they were seeing in Washington, what can they expect from the House majority and what can they expect to actually get done given the realities in the Senate and the fact that President Obama is still in office?
You're going to see, Greg, a very aggressive effort by the Republican Party, the Republicans in the House, to bring our funding level almost immediately down to the 2008 levels, the pre-stimulus, the pre-bailout spending levels that existed at the end of the Bush administration. Now, that's not far enough, but that'll be a good first step. And then we plan to have a sort of cut-as-you-go program, which means that any spending that we do from this point on has got to be paid for, and if not, it doesn't pass, or we have to cut it out of something else. However, I will have to say that there are still Republicans who are here both in the Senate and the House who may be weak at times on these things, and so I think it's incumbent upon the Tea Party and others to help bolster and strengthen their representatives to be sure and remind them that we were sent up here to do a job and that we need to complete that job, which is to bring back credible and responsible spending in Washington.
Well, sir, we thank you for your time today, and we thank you for your time throughout the year. Thanks very much for all of your contributions.
Always a pleasure, Greg. Thank you. Looking forward to it sometime soon again.
Absolutely, sir. Louisiana Congressman John Fleming represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.